Okay then, this morning I'm going to do a little lesson here. I've called Made in the Image of God. Made in the Image of God. We had a discussion, I think it was last week, back in first hour, and someone had asked the question, how can a man be made in the image of God and sin? How could Adam be made in the image of God and sin, was the question. Well, Steve took the discussion to the prophetic perfect, showing that we all shall become like God in the end. If you look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is a passage we're quite familiar with here. But he says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So, in other words, just like in Star Trek, when we reach the final destination, then we will be like God in all of His glory and image. Well, all of that spoken is well and true. But Lance had asked a question that they got me to thinking, and as a result of that, brought about this lesson today. And what he said was that all my life I have been taught that we are made in the image of God. Well, as I thought about that, I was thinking, well, you know what? So was I taught that. All my life I can remember being taught that we were made in the image of God. And then as I kept thinking about it, I remembered why that was so important that we know that. And it's the value, because of that, it's the value we place upon a person and the respect due them. And for that reason, that we recognize that a person is made in the image of God. And no matter how lowly their position in life, in the castle system that man has created, you know, no matter what their position may be in man's eyes, so it is that we are to be valued and respected because we're made in the image of God. Let's look and see why or how it is that we are made in the image of God. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. So we see here in verse 26, it says, let them rule, or some translations say, so that they may rule. So the emphasis here is on humanity's unique status and role in creation, and that is tied to the image of God. So you see here he says, verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule, or that they may rule. So tying the being made in his image to the ability to rule. Okay. So over all the rest of creation that God made on the earth, humans have intrinsic value. That is, we possess inherent worth or dignity simply by the virtue of being human beings. We have inherited that worth, if you will, by being made in the image of God, that we have intrinsic value. That is value that cannot be numbered in a system of how much is a human being worth? What do you think? It's intrinsic value. You can't place a number on it because the value comes from God, being made in His image. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. Such great value God has placed on man that He made in His own image, that He so loved the world because of the image of Himself in man. In Exodus 20:13, we were told that we must not murder one another. Why? Because of the great value that God has placed upon human beings that are made in His image. Great value. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Talking about the respect that is due to people. It matters not your ethnicity, or what country you're from, what color your skin. None of these things matter. We're all people, all made in the image of God, and therefore we all deserve to be loved, to be valued, and to be respected. So, what gives us this value in the sight of God and man is that divine essence that is in us, that spiritual nature, that divine spark that is within all of us, as we will see here in just a minute. This intrinsic worth is seen in our capacity for moral reasoning, our free will with the ability to make ethical choices of right and wrong. In free societies, such as our country was built upon, it was with this understanding that men were made in the image of God, that humans have the rights to pursue their own goals, make choices, and shape their lives with the capacity that God gave us to learn, to create, and positively impact the world we live in. All because we recognize the intrinsic value of a man made in the image of God. Should these rights and these respects be given to every person, everywhere in every country. Communists deny that God, they deny God altogether, that He even exists. Therefore, they of course deny the dignity of man made in God's image. You see, it goes hand in hand. They don't recognize God. So how could human beings be made in an image of something that doesn't exist, which gives us our intrinsic value that we should be respected, we should be loved, we should be valued? See, that's their stinking thinking, if you will. All relates back to because they don't recognize God by the hardness of their hearts. And the God of this world has blinded their minds. That's why it's important that we understand this. And, I'm not sure how much it's been taught today in our country. This used to be understood and taken for granted. I can remember back from my youth, just what Lance was saying. It's always been taught to his knowledge that we were made in the image of God. And with that understanding and building our country upon that principles is why we became such a great country. Today we see what's going on, and people not recognizing that, and they're messing with the very image that God created. He said he created them as male and female in his image. And you start messing with that stuff, you're messing with the very image of God, the very value of man and his worth. Let's look at Psalms 139. And we'll start in verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. When you hold a newborn baby in your hands, the potential for that child and for every child, with all of the special gifts that they have that he or she was given by God and when they were created. Because the child is made in the image of God, that's why the child has all these gifts, different abilities. If you look in Psalms 8, all we have to do is compare man to the rest of creation and see the difference. See man made in the image of God. In Psalms 8, starting in verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. You crowned him with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So as David is looking out and considering all the creation, all that God has made. He says, but what is man? With all the glory of all that God has done, what is man that you have crowned him with glory and majesty? Besides all that we have already mentioned, man's giftings in the arts, such as music, singing, artistic abilities, and different creative skills, with the ability to reason, to understand math, to be able to read, and so much more. No other part of creation on earth can do these things. Think about it. And I know that God gave us all the rest of creation, well, for many reasons, but one of them would be so that we can compare ourselves to all the rest of creation. That's what Psalms 8 is saying. How glorious, how majestic man is, because he's made in the image of God. If you turn to Ezekiel 28... And we'll read verse 15, Ezekiel 28:15. Speaking about Satan, he says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until sin was found in you. So what about the question of man made in the image of God and sinning? That was the question Lance had. How do we reconcile this? We see here that Satan in his creation was blameless until sin was found in him. Adam and Eve were also created blameless until sin was found in them. So the image of God that we've been describing today is still there. All these attributes of man we've been looking at are still there. But God's image in man has been marred by sin. But Jesus came to restore that. If you look in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, we see this principle. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. You see, Jesus came to restore completely the total image of God in man. So, what we've been seeing is God's image, that it consists more than just in God's holiness. You see, we at first think, when we think about God's image in man, and man having fallen to sin, we think, well, how could the image of God be in man? How does he represent the image of God? But see, what we're seeing today is that the image of God is so much more than just his holiness. The image of God is all these things we've talked about today with the creative gifts that we were born with. And let's take a look and see then, how did this come about? How do we get these things? How is it that we were made in the image of God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23... Paul says, but now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here describes the makeup of a man. A man is made up of soul, spirit, and body. Three parts. If you look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we will see the same thing. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So here he describes the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, which make up the body. Three parts that man is made up of. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. Says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, or a living soul, as some translations will say. The breath of life, the Hebrew word is nish hamath, translated as spirit. And it becomes a living soul, nephesh in the Hebrew. So two different words, or two different pronunciations. But the breath of life, then, that God breathed into man, becomes the spirit, becomes a living soul. So this is where that divine spark comes in, and it becomes inherent to all men. This is where God breathed that of himself into man and gave man such intrinsic value, worth, to be honored and respected and not to be killed. Because now he was made after the image of God. If you look in Job 33, right before Psalms, Job 33, and we're going to look at verse 4. He says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's what we just read in Genesis 2. There's a subtle distinction between the spirit and the soul that God gives a man. We see that the one came from the other. There's a subtle distinction. If you look in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 16 and 17, Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17. "For by him," the him in the context is Jesus, capital H, "for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It is through the Spirit of God that he gives us the spark of life to our souls." Comes from God, continues, as all things do, by God. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." This is what happens when God withdraws his spirit of life from a being. The body goes back to the dust from where it came, and the spirit, that spark of life made after God's image, will return to God. Well, what about the soul of man? Look at Matthew 10, 28. Matthew 10, 28. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So there is some insight to where perhaps the soul may go. The spirit back to God, the body back to the dust, and perhaps your soul went to this place. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within us, within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us." So, if we don't want our souls to wind up in hell, like we just seen, then we set our hope on Jesus that he will deliver us from so great a death. So we come around now, in closing, full circle to where we started. Here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The value of what something is may not at first appear until we see what it shall be when its full glory appears. When time as we know it shall cease, God's image in man will be fully restored. And God's plan for man before the foundation of the world was made will be complete. Think on these things. Thanks for your attention.